Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years of doing this madness around here. Friends at the Maryland Lottery are going to put the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I will have the dates by early next week. Yes, we're going back to Coco's, where I dined on Wednesday night with Stephen Allison Elliott from the Elliott Chiropractic Life Center. Free plug for you guys over on Joppa Road. They certainly helped me out. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free all month long. 0% financing. And Jiffy Lube MultiCare, our newest sponsor. My little orange light is on. We still got to get the oil changed. That will happen before Sunday. Luke Jones joins us now. He is in Owings Mills all week. We have turned off the lights at Camden Yards. Maybe I need to go with the purple stadium behind me. I'm not sure, but certainly the purple stadium will be awash in Honolulu blue on Sunday. Yeah, usually you see the Detroit Lions pop up and, you know, you think of Plimpton and Eric Hipple, who was on the show a couple years ago at the Super Bowl. And you think of the old days and they don't win playoff games. They don't make the playoffs. Luke, if there's ever been a more upstart Lions team, there's 5 minutes with Stafford and Jim Schwartz there for a minute. I'm trying to think of some Gary Danielson team a million years ago or Scott Mitchell or whatever, Rodney Pete. I mean, I can go through all of this, these poor Lions fans, but this is a bigger test than maybe what we thought it would be when the schedule came out. And more than that, you know, the Ravens have their own work to do. This is sort of a prove-it game for the 4-2 Ravens on Sunday.
I think it's a prove-it game for both teams, quite frankly. I mean, this is a Detroit Lions team that, keep in mind, finished 9-8 last year after they started, 1-6, 1-7, whatever it was. I mean, they were really, really good the second half of last season. And I get it. When you have a bad start, when you're a team of that nature, people are going to be suspect, right? People aren't going to totally buy into it.
Well, I'm skeptical till they show up on Sunday, right?
Sure, but they're 13-3 over their last 16 games. I mean, think about that for
a second. That's a big number.
13-3. That's better than the Ravens have been over the last couple years. So, and I'm with you. Believe me, I get it. It's the Lions in the same way that every time the Cleveland Browns look like they might be somewhat decent, in the same
it's
way.
It's the Lions on the road on a 50-degree day, too. It's not in a blimp. You know, there's that, too, right?
Sure. I mean, and it's not as though it's going to be 20 degrees, so I don't know how much the weather is going to play into it. But this is a team that looks very legitimate. It's easy to look at 5-1 and then start to dive into the numbers, and you see, okay, well, you know, how fortunate have they been? How many close games have they played? All those types of things. But you look at some of the different metrics that are out there, DVOA, you know, Aaron Schatz, a friend of the program, and, you know, different metrics out there that really try to measure how good a team is just beyond looking at the record. They're legit. They're very legitimate. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to win Sunday. That doesn't mean that they're going to go 13-4. But this is a football team that has clearly gotten better over the last couple of years. I think even when the Ravens went there 2 years ago and needed a Justin Tucker 66-yard field goal, there was at least a thought that, okay, Dan Campbell might have these Lions more competitive than they've been in recent years and playing some closer games, but it's now started to translate into winning, and they're good on both sides of the football. Jared Goff, who is a quarterback who has been maligned even by his former team, who, you know, he helped lead to a Super Bowl and they trade him away a couple years ago for Matthew Stafford. But look at the numbers. I mean, he's playing almost across the board like a top five quarterback so far this year. Now, I don't know if that's going to continue, and certainly he's going to face his biggest test in a Ravens defense that has played at a very high level. But on the flip side, this Ravens defense has faced some backup quarterbacks and has faced a Joe Burrow who has not been right. So I think it's a big test for this Ravens defense to show whether they're really good or whether they're great. And if they're great, then they potentially shut down this Lions offense that has operated at a high level. And with a quarterback who, you know, from Roquan Smith to Brandon Stevens to a couple other guys talking to in the Ravens locker room on Wednesday, they all mentioned, and John Harbaugh mentioned this as well, that Jared Goff has been in this offensive system for a long time. It's the same similar system to what he had in LA with Sean McVay, but he's very comfortable. And they all talked about how he's in charge and he's in control and command of that offense. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates to playing on the road. Now, they've been good on the road, but the numbers overall for him haven't necessarily been as fantastic on the road. So, yeah, this is a good football team. I think this is a legitimate playoff caliber team. I don't think 5-1 is a fluke for them so far this season. And on the flip side, it's a Ravens team that I feel is a legitimate playoff team in the AFC, but I think we're still trying to see what does that mean? Just playoff team or serious Super Bowl contender? And I think both these teams view this as an opportunity to kind of see where they are right now after maybe not playing the toughest competition, but knowing that they should be in store for a dogfight on Sunday. And I think it was interesting you mentioned the Honolulu Blue or whatever they're calling it these days. They've traveled really well, too, with some of their games. So it's going to be interesting to see how many Lions fans potentially show up, as you and I have talked about, you know, attendance and fan interest and all those different topics, really the last couple years. But you have a fan base that clearly is starving for good football. They're finally getting it from a team that has just been woeful for years and years and years. Be interesting to see how they represent on Sunday and how that potentially impacts the atmosphere downtown.
Well, the sleeping giant of the Lions in that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, be the head coach, right? So when Jimmy got that job, and we're talking 15 years ago now, right? Jimmy got that job, and the biggest thing he would always say is, you go into Detroit, you see Hockey Town, you think of Kirk Gibson, you think of the Tigers, and the Tigers had played in the World Series in the modern era. It appears the Rangers are going to play back in the World Series. These teams that get there and don't win, but the Lions are the exact opposite of that. I mean, the Pistons have gotten there and been good several times over our lifetime. I mean, the Lions, it's like maybe like the Browns. I mean, I'm trying to think of any other organization that is more stricken from a fan base, like just in a general, do you have a moment in the history of your, if you're 55 years old, you're my age and you've been a Lions your whole fam, what's your Delmon Young moment? And I think it's pretty pathetic that the Orioles only have a Delmon Young moment and Cal Ripken in the new stadium. It's been there 32 years. That sucks. It's terrible. But there've been some ALCSs and there've been some this and some that, and I know we're 0-8 on the baseball side, but I'm thinking of, I mean, the Orioles are getting there as far as being like, you've been on the planet 40 years and ain't won much. The Lions are worse. And I think about this and think about the starving fan base and whether you would travel to Baltimore for a game on a Sunday when your team's 5-1, when maybe you were asleep for years and weren't considering doing this, but you win in Kansas City, you win in Green Bay, you win in, they're 3-0 on the road. I mean, and there are sleeping Lions fans everywhere. There's a Tom Selleck hat, you know, and somebody's, you know, in Rockville, there's some Lions fan that's been hanging around waiting. This would be a chance to go support the team and be a part of it. You know, I don't see it as being any sort of a Detroit takeover, but they have traveled well, and they are, for the whole league, they're the sleeping giant, I think. I was thinking, like, the Chargers are going to get up and move at some point, and then I watched them play the other night. But these sort of franchises that never get there, and Dan Campbell was laughed at when he was hired, right? Like, he had memes, he had all of this stuff, all these crazy – and being a player and being sort of a man's man and all that stuff, Detroit's taking him in. I'm worried about this game, Luke. I'm worried about where the Ravens are. And I think Harbaugh over 15 years has had the pedigree to have a team ready to play in this circumstance. But talking about this London bye thing, and even on our Facebook page, our WNST Facebook page, we had the automatic link that sent out from the press conference, and Harbaugh's like, ah, we're back to, you know, that's the rest thing and all that. The fact that Harbaugh's talking about jet lag and getting back and all that, and they barely won, and they're not, and the Ravens aren't playing great football. They're playing good on the defensive side. There are elements of the offense where you'd say, okay, I believe in that. But this is a tough game for the Ravens, I think, coming off the rest. And I'm worried about the Ravens in this game. I picked the Lions because they're getting 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't think you're going to be alone in that sentiment because of a lot of what I just said. I mean, it's a good football team. Now, again, how tested are they going to be? And what's interesting for the Lions is take a look at their schedule the rest of the way. After they play the Ravens, there is not much to write home about in terms of the difficulty of their schedule. I think
they
they
got
played
the Bears twice, the Broncos, the Vikings. I
think they
mean,
played Dallas at the very end of the season or something like that. But this is kind of the last litmus test for them in terms of, okay, they can go on the road and beat a team that was a playoff team a year ago, a place that has a reputation for being difficult to win. You know, I know they beat Tampa last week, but you know, the Bucs, not exactly known for having a great home field advantage, especially post Tom Brady at this point. But I'm with you on that. And in fairness to John Harbaugh, he was asked that question by me, by the way, because I think we all remember 6 years ago how disastrous the performance at Wembley was and how the Ravens got embarrassed by the Jaguars. But we might forget they came home and the Steelers flattened them in Baltimore the following week. So there was definitely
amongst a lot of boos. You know, that was
sure.
And they're going to take the knee at the 50-yard
right,
line.
Right.
Dick Cass came to me all excited and the crowd turned on the home team that day, literally.
Well, I think the crowd was cranky, too, because of how embarrassed they got the week before, too. But yeah, even putting aside the politics and the bad feelings of
but I haven't heard the Ravens get booed at home a whole lot in my lifetime. Like, literally,
sure.
Like, really booed. That was a day that I remember that people booed the home team, and that doesn't happen much around here.
Sure.
And honestly, they win a lot, so they don't deserve to get booed at home a lot.
Right, right. But my point is they played poorly in that game. And now I think it's interesting, and John Harbaugh even acknowledged there's not a whole lot of data on this. I think there's only been 13 instances of a team playing in London coming home and not having a bye and playing the following week. So, you know, the Ravens are part of that sample size. But I will note this year, I think Atlanta a couple weeks back, Buffalo and Jacksonville this past Sunday, they all won coming back from London. So I think common sense would dictate that it's easier coming home than going and playing 5 hours ahead as you do when you're going to London. But I think it is going to be interesting just because of they were gone and away for 6 days and then coming home. You know, how quickly do you recover and get back into a normal routine?
Well, that's a hell of a game to lose if you lose it. We didn't talk about that last week, but you get on that plane after you live there for 7 days and come home, have your ass kicked. I mean, I remember when Harbaugh took the team out west and it wasn't going well. It wasn't Flacco wasn't going well. It wasn't going well. That you put a lot of effort, a lot of expense, a lot of time, all that into it. We'll sit here all week and say, well, they could have played better against the Titans and they might have lost and they were lucky to have a backup quarterback and like all that stuff. They won. And
they won.
So for that, like just the energy in the building at home this week's a whole lot different than it would have been.
Oh, no question about it. And especially at this point on the heels of the Orioles having been swept, I think fans want something to feel good about, right? So I think that's why it was so important for them to win in London against the Titans, even if it wasn't the prettiest performance. But I think this is going to be really interesting. And you know, to go back to something that you mentioned about the Lions and the fan base, I mean, I think there's excitement. Heck, during the Rangers-Astros Game 3, John Smoltz, you know, they did a promo because Ravens-Lions is on Fox. John Smoltz, famously a Detroit guy, he was excited. You could tell he was amped up about how the Lions are playing, but it's not
because he's never seen it before.
Right, right. It's not just that the Lions have been so bad for so long, but also think over the last 35 years, who are the two players that you really associate with greatness that played for the Detroit Lions? Barry Sanders and Megatron, Calvin Johnson. They both peaced out. They both said, see ya, I'm leaving, in very unceremonious fashion where they just said, I've had enough of this.
Well, I saw Barry Sanders last game.
In Baltimore, right? Getting bottled up by a Ravens defense that was getting better and better and better.
Great Wally Richardson got his only start that day.
Yeah. So
how can I remember that from 25 years ago? And I can't remember what I had at dinner last night at Coco's.
It's funny, right? I mean, I'm the same way trying to find my keys. But it really has been such a down on their luck, bad franchise for a long, long time. And maybe not as extreme as the Browns have been the last 25 years, but still really, really bad. I mean, winless football team. And
well, they play on Thanksgiving every year. So we're all subjected to 12:30. They play.
We all say how terrible that game is. Right.
Yeah. And usually by the time you get there, they're 3-8 or whatever. And there's some sacrificial lamb. And sometimes they're 6-6 and actually beat the other team. But I mean, the Lions and think of our last trip, right? 2 years ago, Tucker goes out there and beats them on the longest field goal in the history of the game, right? And there's still guys on the team that remember that.
Well, no question about it. And again, that was the Lions, you know, first year with Dan Campbell. And to your point, By the way, he's still crazy, but it's a good kind of crazy. His players buy into it, and they're clearly buying into it. And the other thing is they're talented. I mean, go look at their wide receivers. I mean, St. Brown has been such a good wide receiver for them. And, you know, they got the rookie tight end and Sam Laporta, who's been good. I mentioned Jared Goff's playing the best. You know, he's off to the best start of his career when you look at the numbers early on.
By the way,
this
is our odd game, isn't it? This is our game that's the AFC-NFC game. We don't play the rest of the division, right? So this is that 17th game. Man, you get the 17th game. Give me the Lions at home. Let's go. Any other time. I just thought about that. I'm like, you know, how are we playing them in 2 years? And I thought, oh, yeah. This is the weird game. Like, we had the Rams a couple years. And we got the Rams a couple years ago. They won the Super Bowl, right? So we're not drawing the short. Where are we going to get the Redskins or the Commanders on a bad year? You know, like, give us one of those games. This is the toughest game you could draw out of the NFC, I think.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking about, I mean, they're already playing San Francisco and we, you know, so, okay. I mean, Philly, you know, the Eagles haven't been firing on all cylinders early on, despite the fact that they're, you know, 5-1 as well. So this is a good matchup. I mean, this is a good football team they're playing. Again, I think this is a game for both teams to kind of show, are we just good? Are we just, hey, playoff team and that's fine. Or this is a kind of game where I think both teams can make a statement. So it'll be interesting. You know, in some ways it reminds me a little bit of, you know, because of the timing and even because of the perception. I remember the Chargers coming in a couple years ago. You know, it was similar, week 6, week 7, somewhere around there. And there, you know, a lot of people were on the Chargers, and, you know, some people thought the Ravens might lose that game. And, you know, if you recall, they flattened the Chargers. They beat the, you know what, out of them. So definitely, an interesting game, but this is a Lions team that has been good on both sides of the ball. You know, I've mentioned the offense, but, you know, obviously Aiden Hutchinson, former top pick, you know, our number two pick, and has been, oh, you know, he's been really good for them. They've got other talented players on that defense. So this much is certain, not at all suggesting the Ravens can't or won't win, but they certainly have to play more complete football than they've played in recent weeks, because this is a better team than the Tennessee Titans. This is a better team than the Steelers. This is a better team than the Browns, when the Browns have their third string rookie quarterback running around, not knowing what the heck he's doing. Not
this
saying
might be the best team they see all year. I mean, I'm thinking in their own division, or who they're going to see, where they are. 49ers, I don't know what they're going to be by the time you get there, but, you know, they're not going to be many weeks where we're talking about a team we're playing where they're playing their best football. And I mean, from team statistics, individual statistics, Luke, you talked about Goff. You and I spent a week at the Super Bowl a couple years ago talking about him, and then the Rams give him away. Right. And they swap out and they win a Super Bowl with the guy the Lions couldn't win with. We talked about Schwartz earlier and Matt Stafford. Goff feels like a guy maybe coming into his own in a quiet way at a time when, let's be honest, Bears, Packers, you know, Vikings, they're all down in that division. Mm-hmm. There's a real opening for a couple of years here, and a coach. And you mentioned Hutchinson and other young players that they have there. The wide receiver looks spectacular. This feels like maybe their time to some degree, but it was hard to find believers in Jared Goff, especially when the genius out in LA just said, here, he went to a Super Bowl, but that's not good enough. We need to do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about Jared Goff, I mean, it's, you know, it feels a little Joe Flacco-like, right? In the sense of not so much here in Baltimore, but how he was perceived elsewhere, where, okay, he didn't win that Super Bowl that they got to, and then, of course, they lost to the Patriots, but there's definitely a sense of he didn't belong there, right, at that time. And everything that's played out since then, I mean, heck, his own team got rid of him, right? So it's tough to argue against that perception at the very least, but, you know,
and he was like a second year player then, right? I mean, he was a kid.
He was I think it would have been third year at that point in time. But yeah, I mean, you know, he had a good season that year. I mean, it wasn't like he was MVP of the league, great, but he was really good. But he's certainly someone who has battled consistency issues and battle the perception of being good enough. And obviously when a team trades away and acquires another quarterback and they win a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, then yeah, it's going to make you look not so great. Right. But to his credit, since he's arrived in Detroit, he's become a better football player, and he was pretty good last year, and he's playing at a really high level. I mean, I was looking at, you know, not just 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 1,600 passing yards through six games. Yeah, that speaks for itself. But even looking at all the different analytics type stats, you know, success rate and EPA, QBR, DVOA, all the, you know, his PFF grade, you know, Pro Football Focus, all of that is indicative of a guy who's playing like a top five quarterback right now. Now, it's six games. The question for a quarterback like Jared Goff is never, can you play great football for five or six games? It's, can you do that and sustain that over a full season? Can you do that for a deep run in January? And, you know, that's been the big question for Jared Goff over the course of his career.
And Lamar Jackson, by the way, because I'll bring that in. Because that's
any quarter, any quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes at this point in time, or I guess Matthew Stafford. You know, I mean, that's anyone. They're all chasing it, right? Josh Allen, same deal. Joe Burrow getting the first of all, the Bengals have to worry about getting back to the playoffs after the start that they've had and what they're dealing with. But yeah, that's the question for anyone not named Patrick Mahomes at this point. But right now, Jared Goff is playing really good football, and he's got a lot of good skill players around him. And the unit that I haven't mentioned yet on the offensive side of the ball, that offensive line's good. You know, you look at how they've performed. Some high draft picks on that offensive line. You know, they've played at a high level, and they've done a good job keeping Jared Goff clean. So this is going to be a really good test for this defense. And by the way, they haven't faced a defense like the Ravens defense so far. So that's why I said this is an excellent test for both these football teams. And, you know, I expect this to be a close game. And I think whoever comes out of this game victorious is going to be viewed more favorably. I think they're going to be viewed, you know, especially in the case of the Lions. They go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens. I think they're making a strong statement to be right there with how San Francisco is perceived, with how the Eagles are perceived in the NFC. I think they're right there with them.
Well, then they would be 14-3 and 4-0 on the road this year.
Yeah.
In Kansas City and winning in Kansas City and Baltimore.
Right, exactly. So this is a huge opportunity for them. But on the flip side, because we've talked about this Ravens team and 4-2, and we can say, talk all you want about saying, well, they're two plays away from being 6-0. Well, they're not. So do something about it this week. You know, you can't do anything about the Colts loss. You can't do anything about the Pittsburgh loss at this point, but go out and beat a good Lions team playing at home in front of your home fans for the first time in a month and give them something good to feel, something to feel positive about, and to show the rest of the league that, okay, yeah, our offense has not been a complete unit. We've looked good at times, and other times have not looked very good. Our defense has been good, but hasn't gone up against a juggernaut, a gauntlet of tough quarterbacks and tough offenses. But you handle your business on Sunday, I think absolutely the Ravens are making a statement that, you know, they belong in the top tier in the AFC. So I'm really looking forward to this football game, and I think a lot of talented players on both sides. And I think this is the kind of game that, you know, early in the season, if you're a Ravens fan, you're dreaming of the Ravens being the kind of team that can make a run and get to a Super Bowl. At this point, like I said, Detroit's looking as good as just about anyone in that NFC, with giving giving the nod right now to the Eagles and the 49ers, because, you know, they've been there, and, you know, they've been at that high level in the opposite conference the last few years.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week. He is Baltimore Luke. He'll be at the game on Sunday because they let him in and they don't let me in. I'll be watching on TV. I'll be columnessing afterward. And, of course, the game's at 1 o'clock. And it's I looked at the rest of the calendar, the rest of the schedule, and said, where do the Ravens get a chance to, like, beat a good team, get a quality win, whatever that is? We talked a lot about the Lions. Let's talk about our own team here on the back end of London and Lamar and the offense. This Beckham fight that comes out in the aftermath of this, I was pretty much on the record from the beginning saying I was skeptical about giving this guy this much money in this circumstance and what your expectations were. In an offense where they don't throw the ball much, you would say they throw it well. I'll make that argument one way or another. You and I could fight about Lamar Jackson and passing and time to pass and what they're trying to do. We spent three off seasons now, two with Roman and one with Monk, and saying, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? And then the running back gets hurt every year in September, it seems. And then they don't have that anymore. You know, I saw, by the way, Derrick Henry might get dealt by the Titans. And I thought, if the Ravens had Derrick Henry instead of Odell Beckham, they'd be a Super Bowl winner. They'd have something. You know, they wasted $16 million on a running back who actually ran, instead of a wide receiver runs his mouth. And I just, at what point is the Beckham thing going to turn on? Is at what point are we going to see the Mark Andrews Lamar thing that we've wanted to see? Flowers, I'm all in on. I'm good. I mean, that's the, I mean, if I were to sit here and go on Detroit radio and they're like, what's working for the Ravens? I'd like, well, the little kid that they have, you know, that they picked in the first round who runs around and smiles a lot, seems like a nice fellow. I think he's going to be, he could play anywhere. And I think he will be a weapon and he'll help them win games. The rest of it, I mean, you mentioned Linderbaum earlier in the week as he's back, he's okay. I'll hear that. I'll hear Lamar is a quality player. They're paying him $50 million a year. But I want to see some functionality here, because if I were to talk to the people in Detroit, I'd say Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen are the two best players on the team. Maybe Kyle Hamilton, as far as the body of work, as far as 4-2, who's played well, who hasn't played well. I'll give Lamar his flowers, but he's thrown picks. He's dropped the ball. He's kicked the ball around. He's not had a great year. Barely had a good year for being a $50 million player, to be really honest with you. Now that we're going to add the expectations of Keith Flacco and without the ring, without the playoff victories, without any of that, he's been paid. I think we're expecting more out of the whole operation. Harbaugh's been sort of kind of lousy at various points in coaching the team. And DaCosta's standing next to Harbaugh down on the sidelines, which if I had a press pass, if Eric DaCosta answered my text because we're friends, I would ask, what are you doing down there? Are you down there to hear the action? Do you see the game better? Do you want to hear what's going on the bench? Are you eavesdropping on your head coach who's doing stupid stuff that might both get you both fired? If this team doesn't make the playoffs somehow, some way, Lamar gets hurt again, they don't make the playoffs. I don't know what point Bisciotti's tolerance is. I know what it was for the media. I just don't know what it is for head coaches and general managers. So there's a lot in question here if you and I on Sunday night are talking about them losing to the Detroit Lions, even though this is a good team that might win the Super Bowl.
Man, you just threw a lot at me.
Yeah,
you
I did. How are the Ravens doing?
12 different things. First thing, Jeffrey Simmons has a reputation around the league. Look, has Odell Beckham played like a $15 million football player? No. Do I think this was something that he instigated? Or, you know, I think he was sticking up. Originally, he was sticking up for Zay Flowers, quite frankly. And the way it sounds like Simmons was the aggressor post-game as well. So I don't care as much about that.
Well, Odell Simmons Beckham got to 15 yards. So right.
Well, and by the way, famously, as he was out the door playing his last NFL football game, Marshall Yanda went out of his way to talk about the kind of lacking in class that Jeffrey Simmons had as a football player going up against him in his final game. And Marshall Yanda, I covered nearly his entire career. I don't recall him doing that at any point. That aside, has Odell Beckham been a $15 million wide receiver? Of course not. Of course not. And I think he would agree with that to this point in time. But, you know, I think for this Ravens team, they're chasing being better, right? And at times, we've talked about it with this offense. It's played at a high level at times. It really has. You've seen what it can look like. I think the Cincinnati game, for the most part, for most of four quarters, was a really good example of that. Clearly, losing J.K. Dobbins hurt their running game. I think they're definitely lacking an upside at the running back position. I think where they're running into some trouble there is Gus Edwards is probably their best in pass protector. I think Justice Hill gives them the most juice, but he has struggled in that department. So you're in a position
and
where
holding
okay,
onto the ball, confidence level.
Well, sure. But the point is you kind of have incomplete versions of running backs, right? Where they do certain things well, and then other times you don't want them on the field in certain instances. So I think they're struggling with that. I mean, what you mentioned about Lamar, I think Lamar Jackson's playing good football. Is he playing the best football of his career? I think that's, you know, I've heard some people say that. I don't agree with that. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's kind of a slap in the face to him, considering his unanimous MVP 4 years ago. You know, like, let's not, in the, there's always this push-pull with Lamar supporters and detractors, and I think a lot of them end up being way too extreme one way or the other. I think
I'm
there's
not
more
a detractor. I'm a skeptic
I
until
really
I see
good...
it. Like, it wasn't, like, I, but, you know, I mean, I've been
I wasn't
portrayed
saying,
as a detractor. I'm just a on the body of work guy.
You're definitely
I'm
a detractor. You're definitely a detractor.
Oh, fair enough. Good enough.
Body of work. They've won a lot of football games when he's been on the field. So yeah.
Not fair. January.
I wasn't singling again. I don't disagree, but that's, you can hold every quarterback in the league other than Patrick Mahomes to that standard. And they're going to be lacking. Josh Allen has come up short, you know, so I hear you on that. But overall, I think he's, I don't think Lamar, point is, I don't think Lamar Jackson's been their biggest problem on offense by a wide stretch. And the Pittsburgh game's a great example of that. Someone who could have had close to a career day if his wide receivers catch the football, you know, and passes that were put right on point. So,
and I think the Tennessee game would look a lot different at the goal line if he faked the pitch out and walked into the end zone twice.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If that game was, it was a lopsided game that wasn't lopsided on the scoreboard. So
yeah, 2 weeks in a row they did that, right? I mean, it's, you know, the Indy game should have been a game where they should have been leading, you know, by more than a single score, you know, leaving the Colts in the game. So, but I think that's been across the board. And I would even, you know, I'd throw Todd Monken's play calling in there. I think at times he looks like he's had a great feel and you know, dials up some really good calls. And then other times it's kind of like, you know, what are you doing? You know, how many times did we see them this past Sunday where, you know, Gus Edwards is just inside runs running into the back of his offensive lineman and they're not getting any push. It's like, what are you doing? Like, so I think the entire operation needs to be better. And I think you look at how they have generally played these games and, you know, I've seen some different stats thrown out there and I know DVOA and some different things like that. If you kind of look at the stats, their offense has started well. It started strong in most games and then it's really piddled out in the second half. And Lamar Jackson was asked about that on Sunday. And I don't think Lamar said this at all with the intention of throwing his offensive coordinator under the bus. But he did allude to teams adjusting to them in the second half and they need to, and he said across the board, he said everyone that they need to adjust a little more quickly in the second half. And again, I don't think this was Lamar expressing disenchantment. You know, I don't think it was that deep when he said it, but it could definitely be perceived as, you know, not making, you know, not painting Todd Monken in the most flattering light. And look, the numbers support it. They've been bad in the fourth quarter offensively.
But they don't run the ball well. They don't have someone that can run the ball well. They don't. I mentioned Derrick Henry. I mean, you know, we're talking top right. shelf. But Gus Edwards 5 years ago was that guy. I'm not sure he is. You're bored with Gus Edwards running into the asses of his offensive line, but that's the play. What else are you going to do with Gus Edwards? I mean, you can bring Justice Hill in. He's not banging in the fourth quarter the way you would want to. Right. Get 6, 7, 8 yards on first down just on sheer power and will. They've been able to do that. You mentioned Marshall Yanda. In that era, they could do that. Right now, they can't do that because the offensive line isn't doing that. And the threat of the passing game isn't there. They're not utilizing Andrews in the way that they used to where he was just third and seven, you're in a bad spot. Andrews will get you out of it. He'll battle. He'll catch the ball. He'll shake off a safety, die 5 yards, and you got a first down. They don't have that right now on third down, and they're not in good down and distances late because they're not a power running team, though they wanted to be with Lamar especially, and they went from not Lamar running too much to now it feels like they don't want Lamar to run at all. It almost feels like they've told Lamar like, you're the last resort running or calling a running play for you. And that was a big part of what they did. And it was a big part of what defense coordinators had to prepare for. Still have to prepare for it. But until Lamar scampers 38 yards and you got to go chase him, and we see that the way we saw 3, 4, 5 years ago, as predicted here, that once you get 5, 6, 7 years into this, we're not going to see that because that play's not going to get called. And if he's really trying and they trap him in a pocket and teams have been trying to do that, they didn't have to worry about that a couple years ago because he didn't drop back in the pocket. He had to worry about him being the other running back. I don't know that he feels like the other running back as much as he used to. And I think that it's smart. They're going to keep him upright. But when your running backs are Justice Hill and sort of, I don't want to say a damaged version of Gus Edwards, but an older version of Gus Edwards, a different kind of version, they don't have the personnel. So, I mean, you're yelling at Monk, and I would say, it's more of a personnel issue. They missed Dobbins, and they missed whatever they thought Beckham was going to be and whatever Mark Andrews used to be.
Well, and let me be clear. When I'm singling out Todd Monken, I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I'm not going to just say, oh, it's all the players and it's never the coaching either. You know, I'm showing you what I see, you know, and I see choppiness across the board. It looks really good at times and other times it doesn't look good. So, you know, you mentioned the offensive line. I think the offensive line pass protection for the most part, I think has been good this year. But run blocking, it in what they're trying to do now compared to much more of a gap scheme with Greg Roman. I do question if we're going to see some transitioning over the next year or two for maybe more athletic offensive linemen, maybe, as you're doing a little more zone blocking, things of that nature. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out the rest of the way. I mean, let's be clear. Lamar Jackson's still leading them in rushing, and, he's still on pace for, I think, what would be, not a 1,000-yard season, but would still be, high up there and approaching that. You mentioned Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews missed the first game of the season. It take his numbers through five games that he's played, and it plays out to not far off from, not his best season, but it's not as though he's way off from where he's been. But again, it's just been choppiness. It's looked really good at times, and then other times it's looked bad. And part of this, Nestor, and I was just looking at this the other day, and I'm going to share this in my 12 Ravens thoughts. I'm going to share a link to this. Warren Sharp, who's known as one of the football analytics guys that's really well known around the league. He's even consulted for some teams over the years. He did a deep dive. Offense is down around the league, and it's down pretty markedly. So I don't think, and I'm not saying that to excuse the Ravens, because it's not as though they're ranked in the top three in offense or anything like that. We're just saying that the numbers are down universally. But I think some of the issues that teams and offenses are running into with, I think defense after a decade of offense, 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 and rules going against the defense and the passing game, the passing game, the passing game. I do think the last couple of years we have seen defenses finally counter a little bit. We've seen more too high and they're playing more zone. Taking away big plays, they're forcing offenses to settle for more underneath throws. We've talked about it. Lamar, the completion percentage is up, but at times has not pushed the ball down the field. That's something that a lot of teams are saying right now. So, some of this I think is a product of some league-wide trends that we're seeing. But that said, they certainly need to be more consistent. They certainly need to find more production out of their pass catchers beyond just Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. You've mentioned Nelson Aguilar. He's been, his big drop in Pittsburgh aside, he's been good, but he's got 16 catches for 210 yards. Maybe you find ways to get him more involved. They got to find a way to try to get Rashad Bateman, back on track to some degree. I mean, we've seen him have some big play potential. The Miami game comes to mind last year right away, where he takes a slant to the house 75 yards or whatever it was. He looks lost. He looks like a guy who's not playing with any confidence out there. So they do need some guys to step up. Certainly some players on the field need to play better. They need to take better care of the football. But, I think that also is in concert with coaching, putting them in the right position to do some things. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare. Because again, this is a Lions defense that, statistically isn't quite as impressive as the Ravens, but it's been really good. Like, it's been a top five or top 10 kind of defense, maybe not the same breath as the Ravens and the Browns and the 49ers so far this year, but they're at least in that next tier right after them. So, this is certainly not just talking about the offense and how good of an offense they're going to play on Sunday, but this is one of the better defenses they'll have faced. Cleveland being the other one a few weeks back, that we'll see how they fare. That Cleveland game, they didn't play a complete game against that defense, but remember that second quarter they kind of went nuts against the Browns defense. So, you don't need to have, you don't need to score that much in one quarter against this defense, but I certainly need to find a higher level of consistency. And for this team, it's really been a matter of finishing on a higher note. And you just look at where their numbers have been offensively in the fourth quarter, ugly. Ugly with turnovers and just not moving the ball very much. And if you're playing a close game, which I expect this to be a close game on Sunday, you got to find a way for your offense to finish on a higher note, or you're going to have some disappointed people leaving the stadium Sunday afternoon.
Sun and clouds, mid-50s, 1 o'clock Sunday. The Lions come to Baltimore in their Honolulu blue. Plenty of good seats available on the interwebs. Luke Jones will be there. He will be here. We will be together in the aftermath of all of it. And really, a show me game for both teams. Maybe one of the best games on the docket this week. The 4-2 Ravens and the 5-1 upstart Detroit Lions. And as Lucas pointed out, 13-3 in their last 16 games. Not my father's Lions or George Plimpton's Lions or the paper Lions of years past. Dan Campbell's got them ready to go. We're going to be doing a little more baseball around here, watching these ALCS and NLCS games. Our friends up in Philadelphia trying to prepare for greasing the poles next week up there as well before it's all over with. You can find Luke at Baltimore Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We're both out on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those great places, X, that you can find us out there. Make sure in the WNST tech service. Dennis is away this week. He's back. It's all brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. If you get on that, you get the injury reports early on Sunday morning, as well as the next Mike Elias move for Oriole baseball. That's not coming anytime soon. We got plenty of time to talk about all that. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. We had a bunch of winners up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Also a great spot. Enjoyed the game up there immensely over the weekend. We're going to be getting out and about. I'm wearing my Coco shirt here. We're going to Costas. We're going to Fadley's. We're going to Pappas. We're back over at State Fair. I'm setting that up this weekend. Lots and lots of Crab Cakes tour stops, including Westminster and Annapolis. I'm working out that with Governor Moore as well. We almost share the same birthday like Jim Palmer. It's just a midnight thing on October 14th. So happy birthday to the governor as well. And peace to everyone in the Middle East and everything that's going on with Israel and the Gaza and Palestine, just trying to keep people alive over there. And it's been a rough week around here for anyone in that space following the news. So hopefully we get back here Monday. All hands on deck. The Ravens could be a 5-2 football team. I did pick against them because of the 3 points. I think it's a close football game on Sunday, as it was in Detroit 2 years ago. And I hope we don't need Tucker to hit a 75-yarder to win this one. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.